This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis here, bringing you another message, old-time, old-fashioned message from God's Word by our late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. And the title of the message that you'll hear today is The Power of Christ versus the Power of the Antichrist. Now, if you're interested in those things, that ought to whet your appetite. We just recently completed a series on the old Trailblazer broadcast, Satan, the God of this World. If you write me, I'll quote you a price on that entire set on CD. But the message today is the power of Christ versus the power of the Antichrist. And you stay tuned. I'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
We're no doubt living in the most deceptive age of the world's history. Satan has been able in this generation to put over his deceptive program of making the world religious without Christ in the most subtle way and with very little protest. This he has been able to do because in all religious circles, every kind of spiritual manifestation is attributed to God, while Satan as a personality is denied. Satan's power minimized and played down, and Satan's program masqueraded under religion in the name of Jesus, because he operates as an angel of light through his ministers of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, deceiving the world through satanic mass psychology. Such is his program of deception that he is pawning off on the Christ-rejecting world that the vast majority of the world, especially the religious world, can't tell the difference, get it now, hold it, between truth and error. They can't. I've often made the statement, and multitudes raise their hands in holy horror, that Satan has the power to answer prayer. First, to inspire prayer, then to answer that prayer. Many have come back at me and declared with emphasis, "Oh, I know God answered my prayer." Let me ask you, my friend, how do you know? Satan has power to bring about self-reformation. He has power to perform miracles, wonders, and signs of all kinds and types. Satan has power to heal the human body. In other words, Satan has power to imitate and duplicate in a limited way all the power that Christ has, except to give life. This is a Bible truth that is not preached much in this day, and therefore it is hard to believe, but God's Word teaches it. I believe it, and I preach it. I want you to follow me closely with your Bibles as we go into this study on the subject, the power of Christ versus the power of the Antichrist. In Ezekiel 28:14, Jehovah God, speaking of Satan before he fell, describes him as the anointed cherub that covereth, and says, listen, "I have set thee so." Did you notice those words? "I have set thee so." Before Satan fell, he was the highest of all the created beings of God. He was the anointed cherub. He was the guardian of the throne of God. And being the anointed cherub, he was the high priest of God who led the worship of the universe. God set him in that position. Now hold it now. Hold it. And nowhere in Scripture do we have any hint that God has taken away the supernatural power that he invested him with to perform his office of leading the created beings in their worship. On the contrary, we find that he was able to personify himself in the serpent and appear to Eve as an angel of light, or as the shining one, to deceive our first parents. Today, Satan is that same created being, playing the same role as when he appeared to Eve in the garden. The same being to whom God delegated such supernatural but not omnipotent power. We find Satan's position set forth in Ephesians 6:11-12 in these words. Listen. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, literally hosts of wicked spirits. Satan has an organized kingdom to carry out his wiles, a program of deception. Principalities, powers, rulers. Satan's position and power is recognized by Michael, the archangel in Jude, the 9th verse. Listen. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation or judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now you get quiet and listen to this, will you? This reveals the fact that Satan's power and authority was not revoked or taken from him after his fall, because Michael, the archangel, would not dare to rebuke Satan. That is, stand boldly face to face with the adversary and boldly call Satan's hand when he laid claim to the body of Moses. Michael recognized Satan's position and authority over the body of Moses, and therefore he meekly said, I let the Lord exercise judgment in the matter. The servant stepped aside and let the master take charge of the matter. How do we know? Read the preceding verse in Jude, where he tells us that certain preachers who crept in unawares, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, defile the flesh because they set aside constituted lordship. Listen, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, that is, set aside constituted authority, and speak evil of dignities. The word for dignities in Greek is doxa, which has three meanings with various shades of meaning. First, opinion or judgment. Second, an estimate of someone in the Scriptures, always a good opinion. It ranges from the way, all the way from private opinion to public reputation. Third, based on translation of Old Testament words, it also means in Scripture glory, preeminence, excellency, majesty. In Jude 8, which we've just quoted, it is plural and means that false religious professors who set aside authority of God's Word and the authority in the church will also speak evil. Get it now? Hold it. Of everyone who has a reputation of honor and trustworthiness. The word speak evil is blasphemio, which means to revile, slander. John Calvin says, blasphemia is the disclosure of a shameful deed which someone will censure harshly and savagely. So a mark of an unsaved religionist and false preacher is rebellion and character assassination, especially of one who's preaching the truth of God's Word, are living an upright life that is beyond reproach. But notice another word in that 8th verse. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. The word dreamers means individuals who receive supernatural impressions or suggestions during sleep, dream, delusions, ever slander. If he'll tell the truth, which he can't do, will tell you that they have a supernatural discernment, a revelation, a special insight into another's heart and mind. And they just know there's something filthy and defiling of the flesh in that life. The suspicion, and that is what it is the motions of sin in the flesh. According to Romans 7:5. Listen, for when we were in the flesh, unpardoned, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now in Jude 9, which says that Michael dare not bring a railing accusation against Satan, the Greek word for railing accusation is also blasphemio. And coming from the lips of Michael, we cannot interpret it to mean slanders or false accusation, which is often attached to the word blaspheme. He did not have the audacity, get it now, to charge him with the shameful deed of which he was guilty. But he simply said, the Lord rebuke me. He recognized the position and authority that God had bestowed upon Satan, and we get just a faint glimpse here that the human body, wrecked by sin, rightly belongs to Satan through Adam's surrender of the scepter of authority to him. This being true, then the only authority that is over Satan is Jehovah God himself. And I know he's able to take care of every situation that Satan tries to control as far as God's child is concerned. That's my attitude towards Satan and all of his emissaries who contend with the Lord God of heaven. The Lord rebuke thee, or vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. Who are you and I to pass judgment upon another or expose another shame to the contempt of a cruel, malicious, bloodthirsty, gossiping world? The Lord Jesus himself, in dealing with a woman at the well, did not expose her to a Christ-rejecting world. He exposed her to herself. And so he does with every sinner he ever saves. He shows you your own heart, but he never exposes you to another. But Satan likes to dig around your back door and try to find all the garbage he can and add it to the four corners of the earth. Christ said, I do not accuse you. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Also, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, brother, that's grace. You know it? So we see that Satan has power and authority, and he's invested with a position as prince of the power of the air and prince of this world. Ephesians 2:2, John 16:11. Also we have brought out in other studies the fact that Satan is an imitator. This is specially clear in our studies of Satan's rule on this earth through the Antichrist. The language used to describe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth with his credentials as Messiah, now you get this, is the same language, but practically as that used of the Antichrist. Listen to Acts 2:22, Peter speaking, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Notice words, miracles, wonders, signs. Now listen to 2 Timothy 2:9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." The language is amazing, to say the least. It is almost identical. In both scriptures, the word for miracles of Christ and all power of the Antichrist, which is dunamis, means the outgoing of supernatural power. This power in the Lord Jesus Christ was the mighty power of God, which was inherent in Christ, and which were lent by him to those who were his witnesses and ambassadors, the apostles. Antichrist will exercise supernatural power in performing miracles, which we will see later on. The word signs and wonders referred to two outstanding characteristics of the miracles performed. The miracle is a wonder from the standpoint that it is extraordinary in character, sometimes startling, that catches the attention and fastens itself upon the memory because of the amazement that it causes. Then the miracle is a sign because it has for its purpose a significance beyond itself. It points to the fact that the power is derived from a higher spiritual world, a realm that the natural man does not by nature inhabit. In other words, he is in touch with a being outside of himself. Therefore, whether the miracle is performed by God or Satan, the individual is endowed with a supernatural influence. Now this brings us to the question, where did the Lord Jesus Christ get his power to perform miracles? Let's turn to Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Lord God of heaven delegated power to the Lord Jesus as he walked among men to demonstrate that he was God. He performed miracles. He healed. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. Freely he received. Freely he gave. Then the question arises, where does the Antichrist get his power? This is clearly stated in Revelation 13:2. "And the dragon, Satan, gave him," Antichrist, "his power and his seat or throne and great authority." The language is amazing, isn't it? Now, where did Satan get his power? God gave it to him in the creation and when he anointed him as cherub. So Satan gives Antichrist his throne and his power and great authority. When the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he sat down on his Father's throne. He told his disciples before he returned to heaven, "Listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Do you see what an imitator Satan is? So the Antichrist will receive his power and authority and throne from Satan his father, just as the Lord Jesus Christ received his power and authority and his throne from God the Father. So God the Father furnished Christ the Son with credentials. So Satan, the devil, furnished the Antichrist, his son, with imitation credentials. Both are the credentials of supernatural power. But 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, they're wonders of falsehood. This will take place during the tribulation period after the church is taken out of the world and the world turned over to Satan for a little season. Now let's turn to Matthew 24:24, where Christ warned his disciples that there would come false Christ and false apostles during the Christian age, which is our present day of grace. Speaking of the power of Satan, he said, for there shall rise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Christ did not minimize the power of Satan. He recognized Satan's power and warned the disciples that he would bring forth his false prophets, false Christ, and Satan would give them great power to produce signs and wonders in the spirit realm for one purpose, and that is to deceive you, deceive mankind. And the reason for it is found on down in 2 Thessalonians 9:12. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, now what cause? They received not the love of the truth. For this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When the Antichrist rises on the world's political scene, the Scripture says he'll come with all power. Christ had all power in heaven and on earth. Antichrist will have all power limited to earthly rule. That is, power over the inhabitants of the earth. Revelation 13:7. And power is given him over all mankind. Tongues, nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Antichrist and the false prophets will have power, Revelation 13:13, to call fire down from heaven, as Elijah did on Mount Carmel. Power to perform miracles, such as healing, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind. They will have power to animate the image of the beast and perform such miracles that will deceive all but God's elect. Now, my friend, if the Antichrist will have that power which is set forth here by his father Satan, then Satan has that power today. Satan works in the realm of religion and by imitation. Satan does not work down the saloon or the cabaret. No, he's too much of a gentleman. He works in the realm of the spiritual. The reason for that is because his purpose is to deceive the mind of man and take him captive at his will. Put one thing down and hold it. All that is spiritual is not from the Lord God of heaven. And if there was no Satan, you, in your depraved nature, would wallow in sin, and you'd eat it up. My friend, You've never seen the total depravity of your own heart. You've never seen that God calls for repentance, that you've got to think along with God. You've got to acknowledge what God shows you, that you are wretched, vile, wicked, lawless, hell-deserving sinner, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, where we've been on the air now for many, many years. Pastor Shelton began broadcasting back there in the late 40s, early 50s, and been on the air continuously ever since. Even in Katrina, I believe we never missed a message. But the message you heard today was the power of Christ versus the power of the Antichrist. And I believe that'll be an interesting study to you to get and read. We'll send you the printed copy, free and postpaid, if you'd like, simply by writing or calling us. Let us just know our email address. Many folks are communicating with us now over email. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. And we'll be glad to send you that information and send you this book. It's titled The Power of Christ versus the Power of the Antichrist. It's number 375 in this series that we print all these ourselves here in our printing shop, and we'd be glad to do that for you. It's one week now, already 1 week to Fellowship Day. My sakes alive. Time gets by, doesn't it? Oh, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, time gets about. An old comic strip used to be Snuffy Smith. He said, time's a-wasting. Well, we try our best not to waste no time. We try to cram every day full of getting out the gospel for you folks who are interested, and we'd be glad to send you these messages in print. The title of the message was The Power of Christ versus the Power of the Antichrist, number 375, and the message is by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, gone home to be with the Lord now many years ago. And his messages are just as fresh as they were the day he brought them. And I remember being there in the early morning when he was making these messages over the air every Sunday morning early. And I was privileged to be there many, many times. The choir was there making the tapes and making the CDs. Back then we used the old reel-to-reel tapes. Now we own CDs. What a big improvement. But remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions, or the old Trailblazer, Voice of Truth, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And remember our fellowship day next week, one more week, and we'll be glad to see you. We're looking for you. Goodbye.